Tomorrow's Hill, Charlie, Cindy, and Jeff, sister Jack and Sarah, grandmother Faye, Marcy, Gary, Sam, Melanie, Isaac, Ellie, Joseph, Matthew, and Daniel, great grandmother of Mia, Leo, Micah, Jonas, and Lev, and good friends for so many contributions. Masechet Sanhedrin, the rabbis teach us that the greatness of God is that God created every single human being out of the same mold. We're all descended from the first human being, Adam, and yet miraculously not one of us is identical to another. Each one of us is absolutely unique. And that lesson has roots in the Bible itself, in the climactic psalm of Sefer Tehillim, the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. We are presented with the vision of a variety of musical instruments playing a song of praise to God. Trumpets, cymbals, drums, harp, lyre. Each of these instruments has its own unique voice. Yet when they play together as an orchestra, they produce music that none of them individually could produce alone. We can see this as a metaphor for the kind of community we are trying to create. The ideal community is one in which each one of us is valued for our own unique voice, yet we are able to play music together and create something beautiful that none of us could do alone. And if we're going to create that kind of community, we have to start at an even earlier level, at the level of the family. The family is the first place that we have the experience of being loved unconditionally for the unique person that we are. And it's also the place where we learn to get along with each other, to feel a sense of connection to one another, and to feel that we are not just a random aggregate of individuals, but together we make up something beautiful that has its own special music. This is the kind of family that Mary created. Mary's whole life revolved around her family. She was the glue that held her family together. If you walked into her room, immediately facing her bed was a wall of photographs of every member of the family, so that she could keep the image of all of her family members ever present before her. And Mary's greatest concern before she left this world was that the family relationships that she worked so hard to nurture would remain vital and strong after her passing. She had nothing to worry about, because Mary intuitively understood how to create the bonds of family and to grow those bonds over time. She did it by teaching her children through her actions that the family unit as a whole was important. If even one person were missing, that diminished the experience for everyone. So if there were a family occasion that required children or grandchildren to come from afar to travel, Mary made it possible for everyone to be able to afford the trip. She had a special envelope. And the minute the latest family adventure was over, she'd start saving up for the next one, whether it was a wedding or a bar mitzvah or a family trip. And that was only one side of the story. The reason that family togetherness was so valued by Mary's children was that Mary had an amazing ability to make sure that each and every child, each and every grandchild and great-grandchild felt in their hearts that they were number one, that they were at the very center of Mary's love and attention, as if they were the only one that mattered. And the children and the grandchildren used to compete, teasing Mary to confirm that they were in fact the favorite child or the favorite grandchild. I'm your favorite, Grandma, right? Tell the rest of them. Of course, the favorite was always the one that she was with at the time. When Mary was a young mother, her friends were amazed, and maybe just a little critical, of how she treated her children. They had choices from the time that they were very little. She would go around the table and she'd ask each one of them, what color cup would you like? And she would tailor dinner time to the individual tastes of each and every one of her children. That's a lot of work for a mother of four. And her friends worried that she was spoiling her children. But for Mary, a family was not boot camp. Children were not all the same. Of course, there were things they all shared. But Mary made a conscious effort to make dinner time a lesson in how a family is a blend between things that we share together and ways in which we recognize the uniqueness of each and every member of the family. And that message was repeated, as you told me, every day of your life. You called her every day, every one of you. Each one of you had a specific time of the day. So it was your turn to call. And as she would speak to you, she would say, "Oh, I just spoke to your sister. I just spoke to your brother." So the message of family unity, the message of family connectedness was being reinforced on a daily basis. And the way Mary looked at each of her children and her grandchildren became the way that you all looked at each other. Mary learned the value of family from the greats. She herself came from a large family, which came from an even larger family. And so she grew up surrounded at all times by uncles, aunts, and cousins, as well as siblings and friends. And that's the kind of home that Mary created with Ike, Zichrono Livracha. It was a home filled with people, with activity, with laughter, and most of all, with great food, because Mary was a fabulous cook and baker. She had three great big freezers in her basement, fully stocked at all times, and she would make trips down there periodically to check the inventory. God forbid a dozen of her records disappeared, she knew she immediately needed to replenish the supply. She was always remarkably calm. If you came home and said, "Mom, we've got 90 people coming for dinner," she wouldn't flinch. She never got frazzled. Nothing rattled her. She wanted her home to be alive with people. So she lowered the bar. She made it very, very easy to enter her home. It was a home in which her children's friends felt welcome and comfortable and safe. They came to be with their friends, they came to eat, and they came to be with Mary. Children and teenagers and young adults loved to be with her. They loved to talk with Mary. She had a way with them. Often her children's friends would come over just to hang out with her. Maureen remembers walking in and seeing her friends hanging out with her mom. And after Ike passed away, when Maureen needed to go out someplace and didn't want her mother to be alone, one of her friends came over to keep Mary company. That's the kind of affection young people had for Mary. She was a great listener. She was very accepting, she was open-minded, she was the kind of person that never spoke ill of anybody else, and she never judged. And she was just a wonderful person to be around. Leonard tells a story, wonderful story, of how he took off a month from work to come home from Georgia to spend time with his mother. And that was a time when Cookie was very sick, and Mary did not have the ability to get back and forth to the Kleingauer home every single day. So Leonard came home to drive her, and to spend time with him. And they would come home together late at night and eat dinner together. And then he talked about what a special time that was, just spending that time with your mother one-on-one, and how you just enjoyed being with her. And you commemorated that special time by creating a beautiful work of art, a huge painting that hung prominently on Mary's wall, entitled Mama's Boy. And you wore that title proudly, without any embarrassment whatsoever. You were happily married, you had children. You were proud to say how much you enjoyed being with your mother. And the same story could be repeated in a different form for every member of the family. Jeff, you spoke about the banter that you kept going with Mary, how you would pretend to yell at her, and how a short time ago Mary said she had a dream, and you said, "Am I in it?" And she said, "Yes." And you said, "Oh, it must be a nightmare then." And she laughed. She laughed. It was all in jest, because you loved Mary and Mary loved you. And so it was for every member of the family. The foundation of this beautiful family was marriage. And Mary was twice blessed in marriage. Ike was stationed in Fort Lewis. The cousin introduced Ike to Mary. She didn't like him. But Ike persisted, and they created a beautiful life together and raised four beautiful children. But it wasn't just Mary who threw up the initial barriers. It was Ike was a Sephardic Jew who came from Atlanta. And when he called on the phone with his thick southern accent asking for Mary, the family hung up on him. It was probably one of Mary's three brothers. They were very protective. In fact, they were so protective that they used to steam open the love letters that Ike would send to Mary. They would memorize them and reseal them, and then they would act them out with great flair in front of the entire family. As if that weren't enough, Mary contracted TB right after her wedding. She had to be confined to a sanatorium for 9 months. So I moved in with his in-laws, and he visited her every single day of the week. Mary's mother only allowed her to come home at all because she came home in the condition that she moved in with her parents so that her mother could take care of her until she was fully recovered. Many years later, after I passed away, Mary was very fortunate to meet Cookie. We traveled the world together. They had many good years, and when Cookie took ill, Mary cared for him with great devotion. Both of Mary's husbands were very outgoing, and she was really the opposite. She was kind of shy. She was unassuming. She never really liked attention being drawn to herself. She always preferred to be the one giving attention to others. Estelle, Claire, Leonard, and Maureen, you all said your mother never had to tell you outright what she expected of you. It was understood. She lived it. She modeled it for each of you in such a kind and generous way. And you simply could not help but follow her lead. And she set a wonderful example of devotion to the traditions of our people that has influenced all of you deeply down through the generations. Now that Mary is gone, you, Jack and Sarah, and all the family treasure the memory of her beautiful life, the time you spent with her, and the impact that she had on your heart. You are her most precious legacy. Your family continues to thrive and flourish and produce musical, beautiful, beautiful music in her loving memory. The Yenish Matat Surab Surah Chayim, and the memory of Mary Cohen, the eternal blessing, that she rests in peace.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I can now call upon the Marcy Hammering grandchildren, Mary's grandchildren, to say a few words.
Many of us know the story about dinner at the Pihas versus dinner at the Halilas. At the Halilas, the kids would get the hot dog, and Uncle Al would enjoy a delicious lamb chop. Of course, that was probably the norm in both families, but at the Pihas, the children enjoyed the lamb chop, while Grandpa Ike got the hot dog. This story sums up our grandma, Mary Israel Piha Cohen. Family was everything to her. She cherished her first husband, Grandpa Ike, and spent many happy years with Grandpa Cookie. Her daughters, Claire, Estelle, Maureen, and of course her angel boy, Leonard, were her pride and joy. And she treated her daughter and son-in-laws, Cindy, Charlie, Phil, and Jeff, as if they were her own. She always made her 11 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren feel as if they were the light of her life. Blood is thicker than water, is what Grandma always taught us. Family relationships were the most important to her, whether we were gathered at her house or at a family event. She was the happiest when we were all together. Her grandchildren loved visiting her. From the minute we pulled into the driveway at 5446 Wilson Avenue South, we knew that we were free and that anything was allowed. Candy dishes were always full, and People magazines and VH1 were always available. Most of our close friends have slept over at Grandma's, or have at least parked their cars in her driveway on their way out of town. She made everyone so welcome. What kind of a grandma lets her grandkids decorate her walking cane with stickers? Ours did. One of our favorite things to do with grandmas was eat. And as our family grew, so did the number of upright freezers that filled her basement. The freezers were stuffed full of boyus, burekas, boikus, pastelis, rastas, tarmars, tiapakis, and of course ice cream. Whether we arrived morning, noon, or night, Grandma was always ready to throw some desayuno in the oven. As we got older, we learned that a lot of sweat and tears went into making Sephardic food. And Grandma invited us all to come and bake with her so that we would know how. Many of us took her up on her offer and spent many hours chopping spinach, grating cheese, refilling the oil and flour, and manning the oven. Here are some things we loved about our grandma. On a Saturday night, she would always fix us a dish of ice cream and invite us inside to watch a story on TV. She let us give her a ridiculous nickname, Grandma Barney Pebble Stove. Israel Gray Burnt, because she likes to see this one. Whatever, Piha Cohen. She never said no to anyone until that time she said no to Sam. Her morning ritual was to drink a mug full of lactate-free milk with half a spoonful of cocoa powder, heated exactly for 2 minutes and 22 seconds. It was quickly referred to as 222. She would take us and our friends to South Center and to Taurus. She taught us good sportsmanship by never letting us win at Rummy Hugh. She always said, "We don't say shut up, we say be quiet." She always wore long underwear, even on a hot summer day. She had an endless supply of Pringles, peppermint patties, scotch tape, and Ziploc bags. She taught us how to consolidate leftovers in the smallest Tupperware possible, and to never waste tomato sauce. What a pitazo. Whenever we would leave her house, she always reminded us to kiss the mezuzah. In addition to her two husbands, she had a whole other crew of men in her life. Keith always made her hair look beautiful. Tasso kept her house in working order. Phil kept her house up to par and helped with her with Grandpa Cookie. And Darren not only cared for her, but became part of the family. Phone conversations with Grandma were really important because we were all spread out. Anytime we spoke to Grandma on the phone, we always knew what she had had for breakfast, who she had recently spoken to, and what the weather was like. Somewhere in the conversation, she would say, "No, I can say anything I want because I'm your grandma." Sometimes she would give us keshas, and other times she would give us advice. At the end of every conversation, she would say, "I'll see you soon, to Kenyofia." We feel so lucky to have had a grandma like ours. She was our grandma and our friend, and she left a part of herself in each of us. We'd like to thank a few people. Natalie and Stephen and the girls for being such amazing neighbors and friends to Grandma for so many years. To the girls at the university, how she took such good care of her. And to Nancy and Darren, Grandma loved you two so much and always put a smile on her face knowing she was going to see you in the morning. We love you, Grandma.
I had the opportunity to meet Mary about 4 years ago, and she wasn't so far away from Ezra Becerra, in fact, right next door. I was able to, within a couple of seconds, be at her home. And the things that we heard this morning from Rabbi Rosenbaum and from the grandchildren, from the rabbi and the grandchildren, she told me in about an hour and a half, a little bit of more, involved story of her life. I saw the artwork. I understood you're a mommy's boy. And my kids took to her. She became a grandmother for them. We went to visit her at the University House in Issaquah with the kids. And she had this capacity, the fact that it just came into her life about 4 years ago, the capacity to create these relationships very quickly, which is an amazing talent. My conversations with the children after Mary's passing, some themes that came up was the idea that her kitchen was her studio. I think Leonard, you said that. Another expression that was used in our conversation was total Seattle Spartic. And of course, Mary's inner circle. Were you part of her people? Were you not part of her people? And the people who know, if they're part of her people, know who they are. But I want to reflect for a few minutes on the concept of a woman of valor, which hopefully will tie everything together that we've heard. You know, there's a famous set of verses in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, Eshet Chayil, a woman of valor. And I chose a few selections from that chapter, starting with a line that is very appropriate for the Piha family. And although only Leonard and his family carry on the official name of Piha, of course, it encompasses the entire family. The pasuk begins, Piha patsa b'chokhma. Piha in this context means her mouth. Her mouth opened with wisdom, the Torah of chesed al lishona, and the Torah of kindness was on her tongue. Piha patsa b'chokhma, her mouth opened with kindness, says one of our commentators, everything that she said was b'chokhma. Everything that she uttered was with wisdom. You know, there's book knowledge we've talked about in the past, and there's knowledge of life and knowledge from life. And in Jewish tradition, somebody passes by age 70 or more, irrespective of their level of book knowledge, you must stand up for them to honor them. And Mary was a wealth of knowledge, both in terms of book knowledge, but also in terms of how to function in life and how to lead. Everything that she said was wise. And Torah chesed al shana, the Torah of kindness on her tongue, what we do with our tongues when we speak, things that we can't do ourselves, we get others to do, we prompt others to do, we encourage others, we give advice. We heard how she would give advice to her grandchildren and groom them to be the people that she could be proud of. Chagrad oz magneha latamid zroateha, she girded herself with strength. When asked the question, who ran the Pia family? The answer, of course, was Mary. Chagrad oz magneha, she girded herself with strength. She was a strong woman. She had opinion. She had direction. She gave direction. One of our commentators points out that the word oz is used in reference to Hashem himself. Hashem oz ma'amo yitain. Hashem yivarech adamo b'shalom. God gives strength to his people. People who are talented and who have an ability with others and to form relationships may be tempted to look at themselves as the source of their own talent. But Chagra ba'oz matneh, she girded herself with the strength. She knew that her strength derived from the generations before her, from her family, from her large family, as we heard, that preceded her. So she never got too absorbed with herself. She girded herself with the oz, which hints at the strength given to her by Creator. And we've heard about her family and how she looked out for her family. Another verse in Yishechai, very appropriate for Mary, Sophia halichot beita v'lecha masud botochel. She looked out for the interests and for the goings-on in her home. And as the years went on, as we heard, her home expanded to Vancouver, to Ottawa, to Chicago, and to Georgia. And that became her expanded bayit, her expanded home. So it wasn't just the home on Wilson Avenue next to the Ezra Becerra. It was an expanded home that impacted on people throughout the United States and Canada. So what do we say about a woman like this? Well, kamu baneh v'yashruha. Her children stand up, and children include children, they include grandchildren, they include great-grandchildren. Anybody who's learned something from Mary is also, on a certain level, a child of hers. Vayashruha. And they praise her. One of our commentators says, Osher, this idea of Vayashruha, is a spiritual thing. It's an emotional, spiritual thing. And we know, and we have firm faith as Jews, that when the person passes away, their soul goes up to Olam Haba, the world to come, and they live a purely spiritual existence. So what is going to be of that soul? That soul is going to have Osher. Mary's soul is going to experience Osher. And how is it going to experience Osher? Because of Kamu Baneha, because of what she produced in terms of children. Al Yedei Baneha HaTovim, says the Malvim, through her good children. And you look around at the family, and the eye contact, when you make eye contact with your children and grandchildren, there's a sincerity, there's a warmth there. There's a shalom in the home, in the expanded home that stretched from Georgia to Ottawa, to Chicago, to Vancouver, and back to Seattle. There's osher, there is contentment, there is richness, and that's through baneha, kamu baneha, the children's lives, the grandchildren's lives. They are speaking for themselves, and they create that osher, that wealth, and that sense of happiness and contentment in Olam Haba. That's Mary's CV, that's her resume. When she meets Hashem, meets with Hashem, and her soul unites with Hashem, the CV is going to read Claire, Estelle, Leonard, Maureen, and all the kids and grandkids. So we hope for Mary, one of the last lines of the Yishechayel, Tzuva mipri yadeha v'yalu b'sharim ma'aseha. Give her the fruit of her hands. When she is assessed for her life, what she did in the course of her life, Hashem, give her of the fruit of her hands, the work of her hands, which is everything that she did in the community, the synagogue, beyond the synagogue, with her children. She deserves it. She lived a full life and brought pleasure, happiness, and wisdom to others.